What's so great about dumb old Texas?
What did you say?
Texas is dumb?
And we can't say anything bad about dumb old Texas?
No, you can't!
Oh, then, can we say people from Texas are dumb?
No, you can't say nothing about Texas!
Look, Patrick, I'm Texas! Hey, howdy, y'all!
I'm Texas,
howdy,
too!
Howdy, y'all!
Get a dog, little Arnie! Get
hi,
a dog!
Howdy, y'all!
Get a dog, little Arnie! Get a dog!
Y'all best cut it out!
The stars in
Stupid?
No, I'm Texas.
What's the difference?
Nebraska, Texas meet in an athletic event today. On the line is a trip to the Final Four. It's been a while now. You know, Nebraska's in the Big Ten, Texas State in the Big 12. We don't get to bring up any Texas hate.
Oh my gosh.
With the new Texas fight song. You know, I mean, they had a controversy about the Eyes of Texas. That is actually the new Texas fight song. I think that's, we broke some news there for all of our friends in Austin. But coming up this afternoon, Nebraska and Texas meet in volleyball. It has, unfortunately, outside of one particular sport that I'm going to get into in just a moment, Nebraska versus Texas has been one-sided. In volleyball, the last seven matches, Texas has won five of them, but Nebraska did win a national championship in the same building they're playing today against Texas in 2015. Lexi Sun transferred from Texas. If you think, oh man, it's been a while, you're just blowing this, it's not that big of a deal. Somebody go to Nebraska Volleyball's Twitter account and look at their post today to promote the regional final match. Do you think it's ironic who is the featured player? No, because she transferred from Texas. Nebraska, Texas. I hope the fans that are there today, and we will keep an eye because Pittsburgh and Washington just started, and whenever that ends, Nebraska and Texas will play 45 minutes afterwards, so we're probably looking at about 1:30. If I'm reading the grid right, it's an ESPN2 broadcast. There were tickets available. It makes no sense that Nebraska and Texas are playing in the late afternoon, but here we are, and they're going to play to go to the Final Four. This is a big deal. It's Nebraska versus Texas. Majority of the fans that will be there outside of the Texas parents will be Nebraska fans. I hope they let it be known, even with 4,000 or so, that it is a Nebraska home match today. And it should be a fantastic match. Nebraska has looked impressive. Yesterday, they were so good. I mean, they could have fumbled, and it took them a while to get used to not having Lawrence Stivens, and then things took off. I mean, it was a 16-16 in the first set, and after that, Nebraska never looked back. And it was demoralizing once you got to the third set, and Baylor really had no chance. And it's just another sign of why John Cook is the best of the best in his sport. That was the 87th straight match in NCAA play for Nebraska that they have won when they're up 2-0. They don't lose to teams that are below them. They don't lose when they have a chance to close it out. And usually, when they have a chance and they're up 2-0, it's 3-0. They put the hammer down just like they did yesterday. But today is a whole different set of circumstances because it's Nebraska versus Texas. You remember back in the days of Big 12 football, how Texas would break Nebraska's hearts? Think about the Nebraska-Texas football games in the Big 12. They all have a moment in which it's almost reliving the Oklahoma of the 80s, where they ripped your heart out. Who didn't watch the 96 Big 12 championship game? I waited to make sure he was out of the studio. That was a terrible feeling in St. Louis. Terrible feeling. Then in 98, Ricky Williams, Mack Brown, long home winning streak broken. Texas players walking around the field at Memorial Stadium with the Hook'em Horns. 99, great football game in Austin in 99. Nebraska was 3. Texas was number 18 in the country. Carl Buckhalter's going to the end zone and forgot to bring the football with him, and Nebraska got beat. That's the game with Matthew McConaughey, who was blitzed out of his mind, is running around on the sidelines, and I thought he was going to attack Ed Littler, longtime former sportscaster out in Hastings, because somehow McConaughey was attracted to Ed Littler on the sidelines. So he was around him and he was giving him the business. But then the following day, Matthew McConaughey is arrested. He was playing bongos outside on his balcony. I don't know that he was dressed. But that's what I remember about the game in 99 in Austin, is Matthew McConaughey was everywhere on the sidelines. But then in 99, with Roger Clemens on the sidelines and all these Texas celebrities in San Antonio, Nebraska beat him 22-6. Then, well, you have 02, which one of the best individual performances by a quarterback, Jamal Lord, but unfortunately ended with an interception thrown late. Nebraska had a chance, and remember, the 02 team was not great. Had a chance to upset number 7, Texas, came up short. And then there was 03. Oh, boy. That was Bo Pelini's first year as defensive coordinator. That was Vince Young as a freshman. They couldn't contain him. Nebraska got beat 31-7. It was a miserable day. It was, I remember being on the field. It was hot. It was an 11 a.m. kickoff. Fans were hammered, and it was not a fun place to be. Then there was 06. Nebraska got beat at home 22-20. Then there was 07. 28-25 in Austin. Then there was 2009, which we all remember. And then one of the biggest falling flat on your face is the promotion for the Red Out the World game in 2010. A bad Texas team in 2010 rolled into Lincoln, and Nebraska could not get out of their own way. The offense couldn't get anything going. Barely had 200 yards of offense. Taylor Martinez, I think, had maybe 85 total yards. You had wide receivers and running backs were dropping the football. The Nebraska was leaving the football on the turf. Fortunately, they only lost one of those fumbles. But of all people, Garrett Gilbert went 4 of 16, threw for 62 yards. He ran the ball effectively against Nebraska, and Nebraska lost that game 20-13, despite Eric Hegg bringing a punt back 95 yards late to bring Nebraska within a touchdown. There are a lot of bad memories on the football field between Nebraska and Texas. In volleyball, Texas has had Nebraska's number outside of the national championship in 2015. I wish Nebraska and Texas would play more in different sports. I mean, I think it's their two mega powers. I wish they would find a way to play each other again in football. But it's probably going to be a long way down the road because Texas has been pretty aggressive with their non-con and scheduling. But I'd love to see Nebraska and Texas play again in football. Why not? Home and home? You wouldn't mind going to Austin again, even with all of those bad memories? Or Texas coming into Lincoln to play? I mean, Texas-Nebraska college football. But the sport where I was first fully introduced to how much Texas hate there is. And it would have been easy after 96 at the old TWA Dome to grab some hate. The 98 game with Ricky Williams. And then what happened in 99, even though Nebraska won where it mattered most in San Antonio. The guy that helped Bill Byrne ratcheted up the hate for Texas, because that's what Byrne wanted to do. Bill Byrne wanted to beat Texas. He kind of wanted Nebraska to be Texas, to be this mammoth power. All kinds of money, prestige, great across the board. But he wanted to beat Texas. Every single team at Nebraska, he wanted them to beat Texas. And then you know what happened? He found a baseball coach in Louisiana in 97, 98 that said, I'm coming to beat Texas. And I remember a couple of those early series between Nebraska and Texas in baseball, and Van Horn, who was on game days, he was not a great guy to be around. He was pleasant, but focused. I mean, you weren't messing around him. And it was even more so against Texas because he wanted to beat Texas so bad. Why? Because Texas in the Big 12 was the torchbearer. They were the number one program. And his idea was, if we knock off Texas, we are the number one program. So I'm going to do everything possible to build my team, build my program, to be successful so that when it's our turn to play Texas, we look like we're Texas. We have as much talent as they do. And nothing drove home that point more than a series. It was either 2000 or 2001. It was in Austin. It was at the end of the year. The series, because of finals, was instead of a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it went Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And it was Dave Van Horn against Augie Garrido, and Texas was pretty good. Nebraska won. They lost on Friday night, came back and won on, or they lost on Saturday, came back and won on Sunday, and the series finale was on Monday. It was getaway day. They had, back then, before they remodeled Dish Falk Field, they had an all-AstroTurf field. It was on the field 115 degrees. It was early May in Austin. It was right before the Big 12. Well, it was a couple weeks before the Big 12 tournament. It was really, really hot. I mean, it was blazing hot. And Van Horn had a chance for Nebraska to win the series against Texas and would put Nebraska in the driver's seat in the Big 12. And there'd been a lot of chirping going on in the first two games of the series. So it's a 1 p.m. first pitch. On an all-turf field that is not very forgiving, the air temperature in Austin was 93 degrees. On the field, it was going to be upwards of about 115 degrees. And Dave Van Horn, to send a message to show that he didn't care much about Texas, had guys wear their black tops. And the reaction of Texas players when Nebraska walked on the field and they were wearing their black tops, they thought they were crazy. And Nebraska went on to win that game. And I don't think Van Horn ever lost to Texas after that. It's okay to not like Texas and walk around with horns down because it's Nebraska-Texas. It's two marquee college programs that are mammoth, have had different levels of success in their different programs. They meet today, and every time the Nebraska and Texas should play, we should celebrate it. And so every hour, we're going to play that song. And if you are a fan of SpongeBob SquarePants like George is, you were rolling and you had tears in your eyes.
Man, that's one of my favorite episodes too. That's good. That's so good.
I mean, it's great. I can't imagine what if, you know, things would have worked out and these two teams were playing in the convention center. It still would have been Nebraska, Texas, but it was like, now they're in the big boy arena.
Yeah.
And it has the feel of now the NCAA tournament starts. And I'm glad Texas upheld their end of the bargain last night, winning in four over Penn State. So if you're going today and you're listening and you're not already there, it's okay to dislike the team that Nebraska's playing. There should be a lot of pent-up hate. Hey, Texas has caused a lot of issues for Nebraska fans.
A lot.
There are so many painful memories about football. 09-10 still stings. Mm-hmm. The game in Arlington and then to build up the game in 2010 and for Nebraska to lose to a bad Texas team. And there haven't been many opportunities since Nebraska switched conferences to play against Texas. Today is one of those. So it's probably about 1:30. We think it'll get going if we're doing the time right.
Yeah.
And we'll find out what Nebraska's lineup looks like. But whether you follow volleyball or not, just know it's Nebraska, Texas.
It is.
All right. When we a little bit later, Michael Bruns will join us. Nebraska has already practiced today. There's players talking. We'll get Bruns's thoughts a couple of days after the open practice. Yours as well. If you were there, if you were amongst the 3,200, which was great. It was great to see fans back. It was actually really nice to be outside watching live football. I went to all the home games last year, but we're upstairs behind a glass. It was nice to sit in the stands and watch live football and to see people, and there was a nice little buzz. And I hope it becomes a regular tradition that every spring there is that opportunity for the general public, season ticket holders, donors, however they do it, to get an opportunity to watch a practice. I think it makes you understand how much structure there is, and there's no wasted time when they are practicing. So you got thoughts, I've got thoughts. We'll share them. We roll till 2. Michael Bruns coming up at 1. George will stop by. We will discuss the weekend in the NBA. And also, I'm guessing because you have Shane Bieber and he struck out 13 Reds yesterday, you have posted another week of winning fantasy baseball.
Sure did, but Gary, injuries are happening to my team and I'm scared. All my IR spots are taken up and I got like 3 more that need to go on IR. I'm scared.
I don't know, and if you're in a deep league, there really isn't. There's scraps left.
Yeah.
And then you're going to trade, and someone's going to fleece you. We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this. Hey, it is Mission Monday. This is the first day of Do Good Week. You're hearing about Do Good Week, and we're glad to partner with those good folks. It's to rebuild and support more than 500 local nonprofits. Today is the day to take time to learn how vital local nonprofits are making a difference in the metro area and consider how you can help. It's easy to sort by causes like housing and shelter, the environment, and youth and development. Learn about local causes and needs at ShareOmaha.org.